Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And today we're going to start our show with the devotion from Sweet Tea for the Soul, and it's called Good, Acceptable, and Perfect. And our scripture is Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People often ask what the difference is between God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Instead of splitting hairs over that question, however, consider this. There are really only two choices in this world: to do good or to do evil. As believers, we know that God wants us to do good according to His word, which He has given us. This is His will for our lives. Many people believe they are good, but good without God is irreconcilable. No one can pole vault from the earth to the moon, and no one is good enough or strong enough to get to heaven without God. Faith check. God's perfect will for us is to follow Him, share the gospel message of salvation with others, and do His will on the earth. If we continue to follow Him and live according to His word, the Bible, we will accomplish His perfect will in our lives. And it always reminds me that our first ministry is our home. Our saying today is that old saying that I don't even know where it came from. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. I have so many prayer requests today. You know, God is so good, but time is running out on this earth. And so it's time for us to really acknowledge that and hit the ground with our knees. It's so easy to, you know, that saying, hit the ground running, but we need to, the busier we get, the more we need to spend time with the Lord in prayer. So today I'm holding up Leanna. She says, please pray for Thomas, my son. He's having surgery. And then we're praying for Marlene. It says, prayers for God to keep me in His hand. And then we are praying for Judy. She says, please pray for my daughter. She needs extra prayer. And then we're praying for Louise. It says, I would like everyone to pray for Ann Brown for healing. And then Maria says, I need prayers for my mother who passed away. I need your prayers because my mother passed away yesterday. And anyone who has lost a parent, especially a mother, knows that life changes then. It's now you're really grown up. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer, and we'll hold up all these prayer requests. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come to You with these prayer requests, with the family who recently lost their mom, and praying for healing for Anne. And I just ask that You wrap Your arms around Marlene, not only hold her hand, but just hold her and hug her. And I pray for Leanna, whose son had surgery, that Your healing hand will be upon him. I thank You, Lord, because You give us so many symbols of Your love and grace and so many blessings and so many protections that we're not even aware of. And I just hold up to You our servicemen and their families. I hold up to our first responders and the government. And Lord, be with this show today that Your words, that our words will be Your words. All this I pray in Thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! It's our Arts and Crafts Corner, and we're talking about mixing colors. We talked a little bit about it in the previous show, and I thought for those who do enjoy technology, there's a site you can go to called tricolors.com. That's T-R-Y-C-O-L-O-R-S.com. I shared a link there on my Pinterest page in, under painting. The cool thing about this little online color mixing tutorial is that it actually has the names of the colors. So, you know, like hash mark FFED00 or hash mark FF000. For those who are getting into web design, like the older students might be, that's really cool. So even if you have your three basic colors, you can get almost all the rest. So this online color mixer helps you by letting you match the colors for any other thing that you might want to do, even home interior decorating. So you can click on the colored circles and then virtually add or mix one drop of the dye, the virtual dye, until you get the color that you want to get. You can even add water. So you can place unlimited amounts of colors on your own palette that you set up. And you can click reset if you want to refresh a current mix and not use it. It's really a cool little tool. So that's an additional color mixing tool that you can help your children really embrace and internalize the learning of mixing colors. It's great. You can even incorporate it into your science. And maybe I should do that.
Hey guys, I'm going to show you a really cool color mixing experiment. All you need is 7 cups of water, food coloring, 3 colors, blue, yellow, and red, and some paper towels. Let me show you how to fold the paper towels for this experiment. Take your paper towel, fold it in half, press it down tightly, and then fold it in half again. Then, fold it in half this way, lengthwise, and press it down. Make sure it's good and tight, and cut a little bit off the end. You should have something that looks like this.
Like a V.
And then what you're going to do is you're going to fill every other cup up with about a half a cup of water.
He's using plastic cups.
Then you're going to add the food coloring to it. Then all you need to do is add your paper towel.
He adds food coloring to every other one. So he has red, then a clear, then a blue, then a clear, then a yellow, then a clear, and then a... Then gradually the color starts blending. It's very cool to watch. You end up with a rainbow at the end. It's very cool. I'm trying to get this on my Pinterest site too, but for those who might not use computers, I hope this explained it well enough that you can do this at home. When you're working with science and with art, you can integrate the two and you can also talk about God's rainbow. It's a beautiful lesson. Questions homeschooling families ask. Well, this is a question from Mandy, and she's going to set the stage here. She's went with her children, and she has 2 sons, 7 and 10, and she made them go into the woman's bathroom with her. And one of the other ladies made a snide remark about it. So she wants to know, when do you let your boys go into the men's bathroom by themselves? Well, in this day and age, really, we have to be so careful. I love the idea that they have family bathrooms. But even then, maybe you don't want your son watching you go to the bathroom. So I really think we need to get family bathrooms that have a stall in them. Maybe we need to start campaigning for that. I got quite a few responses to this question. And a lot of the feedback is that moms are still taking their sons with them into the ladies' bathroom. And I've seen it, and I just praise God that there are moms that care so much for their children that they won't let them come in harm's way. I wish we did not live in a world that is so sinful that we have to worry about our boys, but we do. We have to worry about our children in general, and making sure that they're safe in a public restroom is certainly what you have to do. You are their advocate and their protector. The other question that has come to our desk is a question from Sandra, and she says, I've been thinking about doing K4 Abeka Academy. I want to love it, but my daughter really struggles to sit through the videos. Even when I give her breaks in between, it's just she just can't get engaged. So I'm wondering what I should do. You know, you spend a lot of money on this curriculum and then it just doesn't seem to work. Well, you know, sometimes you have to limp through the school year and adapt it the best way you can, even if it means you preview the videos and maybe get out the clips that they really need. Another thing I do is if it's a video-based subject, like history is often video-based, I will schedule that for right after lunch. And so that becomes our dear time, our drop everything and rest, our drop everything and read, whatever you want to make, whatever acronym you want to make it, it's our dear time. Many times we drop everything, I read out loud to them. Other times they read quietly to themselves. Other times they watch a video. And that seems to take a little bit of the edge off. So if you have a child that is not a visual learner, videos are very difficult. And sometimes they might be an audio learner and just relaxing with their eyes shut and listening to the video, they gain more from it. Whatever the case may be, you already know my feelings on having children sit for any amount of time. So I love the idea that you're giving her mini breaks and maybe you could put it a different time of the day even. I hope this answers your question. So my guest for the second half of the show is Charles Kraut, and he has written a book called Will You Help Save Your Country? I know you want to stay for that, so we'll be right back. So I'm here with Roger Wheelock. His booth is Greater Than I Ministries, and what caught my attention was the idea of teaching a biblical worldview. So I'm going to let you explain a little bit what you do.
Okay. The ministry is geared towards equipping the entire family. When we first began here in America, this experiment, the Pilgrims and Puritans came across. They were within the second to third generation to actually own a Bible. And they realized this was worth everything. They gave up everything for it. They risked everything to come here. And when they got here, the first thing that they did after they built their homes and established their livelihoods, they created Harvard. Why? Because they believed it had to be passed on to the next generation. So education was first priority for them. And they developed what we call now the liberal arts education, where they would basically divide life into major categories. And in each one of those categories, they would teach the biblical worldview. They would have the student look in their textbook, because kids today we're gonna study economics. Open up your Bible and let's look for all the fundamental ideas of economics in the Bible. And then once they're done with that and they've looked at all the doctrine, now let's look at what man has considered to be wise over the last 5,000 years and let's compare them. And let's see which one works, which one doesn't, and why. So we divide our topics the same way. We deal with, obviously, theology and philosophy, but economics and politics and science and law, ethics, education. We look at them all through the prism of God's eyes. So how does God think about these? And then we look at the opposing ideas. And we compare and contrast, because I believe everything in this world is contrasts. And God puts us here in this contrasting world so we can learn to discern between the black and the white, the bad and the good, the wise and the foolish.
So how can my listeners get more information?
Our website, gtimin.com. It's basically just put that in your Google search and you'll find gtimin.com. Or you can just type it in longhand, greaterthaniministries.com, and that'll get you to our site. And you can easily find, we have videos. We have a 14-hour video series with workbooks that is great for the family to do like a morning devotion. You watch 15 minutes of video. And then we have questions that anyone from 8 to 18 can be, 28 can be involved in, 58 can be involved in, really, because it's made for the whole family. And it's bringing, connecting the dots. Here's Scripture. Here's your real world life today. Let's show how Scripture connects with every area of life.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us. I love the idea that even a family that has to do traditional schooling can still help their children maintain that biblical worldview.
I would also say that we have textbooks as well if people just want to do the old-fashioned way, which is just fine. But no, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome, Charles. I'm so happy you're here with us because I can't help but think there's nothing more important than saving our country and enjoying, continuing to enjoy the wonderful freedoms that we've have experienced and that our children should experience them as well. So in the book, The Rise of Progressivism and the Destruction of Liberty, I really wanted to deal with that. We have lightly touched upon progressivism in our shows before. It's one of the reasons why we continue to promote homeschool education or Christian education. And so let's just start with a little bit of the history and then let's get into the meat of your book.
Okay, thank you. The progressive movement started in the United States during the time of Karl Marx, who lived from 1818 to 1883. We all know the name Karl Marx. He's the famous man who promoted socialism, which leads to communism and so on. And many countries, including the United States, were deliberately infected with the cancers of communism, Marxism, and socialism. But for many years, most Americans refused to accept them either as economic platforms or ideological cornerstones. That's changing now. But what we don't realize is that for 120 years, we have had progressive presidents, for the most part. Very few exceptions. Ronald Reagan was one of the very few exceptions. We think that Woodrow Wilson was our first progressive president. He was not. Teddy Roosevelt was. And there are lots of stories I could tell about him, and there are books written about him which explain exactly what he did. But Wilson was the one who really got the ball rolling, moving America on a different path away from the Constitution, away from the principles of freedom, and toward progressivism, which always leads to socialism.
And we're facing some of that right now. They are free to say that they are, you know, it's not cloaked in anything. We know now it's a full-on attack. So what makes progressivism so dangerous in our public education system?
Progressivism is responsible for all the great disasters of the 20th century. Adolf Hitler was a progressive. Mao was a progressive. Stalin was a progressive. Franklin D. Roosevelt was a progressive. Eleanor was a progressive. Eleanor Roosevelt, the widow of our president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, was a special envoy to the United Nations appointed by, I believe, President Truman. She was there at the founding of the United Nations in San Francisco in 1948, and she immediately began to push for what's called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That was the beginning of the end for this world. It took 1,400 votes in the General Assembly of the United Nations to pass the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But in that declaration, it changed everything, because human rights are created by government. Natural rights, as in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and property, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, are given by God. Article 25 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights says basically that every human being on the planet is entitled to free food, free medical care, free transportation, free education, free retirement benefits, free social services, on and on and on, as far as you want. And we're hearing that. Oh, we're going to forgive student loans. Oh, we're going to give you a guaranteed income. Oh, we're going to give you Medicare for all. These are progressive programs. These are human rights. They are not natural rights. They destroy the Constitution, because the Constitution specifically limits the power of the Congress and the President to certain areas, and these things that the progressives are promoting are well beyond them. But then take it one step further. Progressivism is responsible for the sexual revolution, for the women's liberation movement, for the gay rights movement, and all these other things. And as Christians, we are very conflicted and very confused as to how to deal with these particular issues.
Yes, and progressivism is totally integrated into our public school system, you know, the free lunch, and the idea that everyone can succeed, even though it sounds right on face value, like differentiated instruction or the universal design of learning. All of that is very insidious in that it doesn't really teach you to do whatever your hand finds to do with all of your might. It's teaching you that you're going to get the same reward as everybody else. And I mean, if you take it the next step up, when we meet our maker, everyone, there's no motivation there that, you know, he's coming and his reward is with him. So progressivism is very dangerous. You wrote a whole chapter called Progressivism's Greatest Hits. Could you share with us what those hits were?
Aside from World War I and World War II, there are many, but as I mentioned, the sexual revolution is one of them. The gay rights movement is another. I love, in my book, I was able to put Eleanor Roosevelt and Adolf Hitler's pictures on the same page, because they were both progressives, and their ideas in both cases were destructive. But what's most amazing about it is that the progressive movement has won every battle it has fought. They have never been reversed in any court of law, any Congress, anywhere. I found out why when I was living in the state of New Hampshire and attended a gay rights rally and learned how extremely well-organized and well-funded the progressive movement is. We've never been able to stand up against them because we've never been united. That's what we must do. It doesn't matter what we call ourselves, conservatives, constitutionists. I personally am a strict construction constitutionist. When the Constitution says promote the general welfare, it doesn't mean we should have a welfare state. It means we promote the welfare of all the people. And that does not mean robbing Peter to pay Paul, taxing half the population to pay the other half. It means enabling us to be individuals, to exercise our initiative, to create a life for ourselves which we could not perhaps create anywhere else in the world, under a government solely empowered to protect and preserve our rights and freedoms.
Yes, well, we've come to the end of our show. We're talking with Charles Kraut about his book, Will You Help Save Your Country? It certainly is a great pause for thought. I hope that you can go to his website,
CWK2020.com.
And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.